WTBR, KLAV, 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV, Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dantzer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, progressivevp.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dantzer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our show, which I guess is coming to you from the new KLAV Sweat Lodge.
It is warm in here.
Apparently, they're working on the air conditioning, and this is the only room in the studio that's been affected. Isn't that cool?
Well, the show must go on, and it will.
I have kind of a whopper of a Science Corner segment. Unless you have something urgent, I'd like to get right to it.
All right. You got a few extra minutes. We normally would break away for Greg Brown, because he was from videopoker.com, but he called earlier today, has something else come up, so he's not going to be here this month.
Oh, darn.
So we have a little bit extra time. We need to do some commercials, and then at 7:15, we're going to have Nolan Dalla from the World Series of Poker.
All righty. Well, last week we rolled out my little Science Corner segment, and as I was doing my research this week, I ran across something that is just stunning. I mean, if you told me this 2 weeks ago, I would have thought you were crazy. There's a very recent study into what's called active learning that would seem to contradict accepted doctrine for the best way to train and teach underachieving students. Apparently, this is completely new information, and it could have significant applications into ways of teaching video poker strategy. The information was published in the June issue of Science, and the article was entitled Increased Structure and Active Learning Reduce the Achievement Gap in Introductory Biology by David C. Hank, Janke Hillris-Lambers, Emil Pitre, and Scott Freeman.
And this is going to redo how we teach video poker.
It certainly could. As a matter of fact, it's probably good material for a book. You may remember a few months back, I think over dinner after one of your classes, I talked to you about possibly including some card math in VP curriculum, right?
Okay.
Now, you asserted at the time that if students had trouble memorizing basic strategy, they probably wouldn't be able to do card math. And I immediately agreed with you. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, that makes sense. Do you remember that discussion or?
Yeah, vaguely.
Okay. Well, it appears that the current research into structured learning would tend to contradict this completely.
Uh-huh.
I knew nothing of this.
This article said that card math is easier than memorizing strategies.
Essentially, yes.
Huh, okay.
Okay. Now, it's kind of long and complicated, so I'm going to paraphrase it. I put out 4 points here. The underlying reasons for comprehension gaps between high-achieving students and underachievers has less to do with memorization ability and more to do with poorly developed problem-solving skills. That was one of the major things that came out of the study. 2, a highly structured course that emphasizes personal and group studies centered around problem-solving and a reduction in lecturing was actually found to decrease the gap between students by 50%. That's huge. The scientists further tested to see if the new curriculum only promoted higher test scores and found by using a specially designed test that active learning did indeed prove true understanding and problem solving, and it actually had little impact on information transfer. So it's not merely a better way of teaching something, it's a better way of getting people to understand something, which is two different things. And lastly, and this one you're going to love.
Okay.
They found that active learning was 48% more effective at changing opinion than conventional by rote memorization and lecturing. I'd like to read you just a very quick excerpt on that last point. Said, we call this proposal the Carnegie Hall hypothesis on the basis of the story that a tourist who asks a New Yorker how to get a Carnegie Hall And the answer, practice. The hypothesis is a direct extension of constructivist theory, a cornerstone of classical explanations for why active learning works. Constructivism maintains that individuals incorporate new information into their previous conception and that they only change ideas when they realize that the new information conflicts with their previous understanding. Creative cognitive dissonance. Now, we've talked about cognitive dissonance on the show before, and usually it works against us, but here it works for us. Constructivism defines the types of practice that are valuable for underprepared students in introductory courses, not drilling, but exercises that challenge previous conceptions and require students to explain their thinking. So this is really a new way of teaching. And I'm sure you remember that class where we were talking about that gal that, you know, you told her that two pair is better than one pair.
I've told that to several people
in
various classes. I don't know which class you're talking about.
But, well, it was one of the ones I did with you down there at the South Point. But she, you know, you told her that, you lectured to her in the class, but she walked right out the door and went back to holding her, you know, pair of aces over two pair because she didn't believe it. But what the research is saying is that if you're trying to affect a change of opinion by promoting types of learning where people have to figure things out on their own, to a certain degree, structured, of course, there's actually a better chance of affecting a change in their opinion.
Okay. I would like to get to stuff more directly related to gambling with an edge.
Teaching video poker isn't related to gambling with an edge?
I don't think that article has much to do with teaching video poker.
But don't you have underachieving and overachieving students in your classes?
I might if I had read it and looked at it and understood it all. But this isn't. I think we're lecturing at people, and most people haven't had a chance to read that. So let's get back to, let's talk about something gambling that that is related. You picked up tickets tonight at the Palms
For Deep Purple,
for a show. And on the your ticket stub at the end, you can turn in for $10 free play on a slot machine, video poker, or $10 match play.
Mm-hmm.
And your opinion is it is a no-brainer to pick up the free play. And my opinion is it's not nearly such a cut-and-dried situation.
Well, I mean, the free play has nearly full value. So $10 in free play is nearly $10, assuming you can get close to 100% return machine.
Well, depending on how long it takes you to get it. The lines can be long.
The lines can be long.
If it takes you 20 minutes to stand in line to get it, and it has a higher EV by, you know, $5 or something.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. A $10 in match play means that you're going to win an extra $10 half the time because
right.
When you lose it, you lose the bet. So actually $10 in match play has an EV of somewhere around
480 or something like that. 470.
480 depending on the game you play. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And the other one has an EV of close to $10. So in terms of strict money, if time is not of concern, the free play is definitely better, no question about that. But if it takes 10 minutes or 20 minutes to stand in line, or you're not a video poker player, so you play a slot machine with a 93% game or something, this can be it. If this is a small amount of money to you, your time is worth something. Doing it on a match play, just over and done with real quick, doesn't matter, might be a smart play. I could see going out with a date and saying, let's stand in line, honey. This will be a great time to look at the world go by while we're standing in line. Or we can go right up to the table and do it. I think going up to the table and doing it can make a lot of sense.
Well, I would certainly play the free play. But if time was a factor, then I agree with you.
All right. Let's do a couple of commercials. South Point. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody anywhere else in the world. The big promotion in June is called the $400,000 Swipe, Spin, and Win, with the misplaced apostrophe on the N win. You play 200 points in a day, swipe your card at the kiosk between 3 a.m. and 11 p.m., and you get an award. You can get 2,500 points, which is worth $750, up to $50 in free play or gas card. The prizes are random, but not equal chances. If you're get good mailers because you lose a lot there, you play a lot of slot machines, you're going to get a whole lot of $50 prizes. If you get a small mailer, you're going to get a whole lot of 2,500 point prices. So I get a relatively small mailer, so I'm getting 2,500 point prizes. I get double points, which is worth a lot. But I also got some free movie tickets, free buffets, and stuff like that. So I went and cashed several, because I got a free buffet. And so I had like four free buffets and so many movie tickets and stuff. So I stood in line and cashed them all today. And it took a while to get through the line. There were people going through that line for just one ticket. And so those of us who play there regularly, we're going to have 15 or 20 of them by the end of the month. And it seems to make more sense to go through them all at one time. But the buffets are good until July 7th, Monday through Friday. So if you wait till the end of the month to do all those there, you may not want all those buffets in 1 week. You may want to space them out a bit. Silverton. This month they have a pull tab promotion where you play $500, $5,000, or $10,000 and get a pull tab. I've been doing the $10,000 pull tab, and my average has been about $40, which is worth 0.4%. And so I'm not doing a lot of them because 4.4% is not enough to thrill me. They have a lucky seat promotion on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can be playing more than one machine. You do not have to be playing max coins. And the denomination of the machine doesn't affect your eligibility. So playing a $25 machine or playing a penny machine gives you an equal chance. You're either on or you're not. And they're changing their senior drawings next month. I reported last week what their plan was, and there have been some complaints on that. So they're rethinking it. So it should be coming out in a week and a half, and as soon as we know what the new rules are, we will report them to you. Good.
I did just want to sum up. You kind of cut me off before I just finished my summary of what I was saying about the active learning, though.
Oh, okay.
I'll get it out in 30 seconds, I promise you. Up till now, I would have assumed that trying to teach card math to underachieving students in a video poker class would be the least beneficial. The real kernel of knowledge that came out of this study that was done and why it impressed me so much is that it appears that underachievers actually benefit more from such study because it is inexperience with those types of concepts that are at the root of why they are underachievers. So I'll let you read it, and you'll tell me next week if you still think it's not related to VP. Because
okay,
I think it could be.
I think card player or card math, you need to have a certain facility in math, and the underachievers do not have a facility in math.
Which is why they're underachievers.
And so...
That's what the study's saying. But structured learning, first you'd have to understand what structured learning is, and we don't have time to go into that. So I'll write up a little thing for you. You can read about it for next week.
All right.
All right.
Very good.
And woohoo!
All right.
We got our guest.
We got Nolan Dollar on the line. So let's get to it. Nolan Dollar is a poker player and writer. I highly recommend his biography of Stu Unger, arguably the best poker in the world when he died almost 15 years ago. And it's called One of a Kind. I read it recently. I wrote about it in my this week's column that you can download on bobdancer.com if you like. Nolan Dollar, since 2002, has been the media director of the World Series of Poker, which has been called the highest paying sporting event in the world. This year's World Series of Poker is over the halfway point, not counting the several month delay for the November 9. And we appreciate, and so this is a busy time for him. We appreciate him taking time out and talking to us. Nolan Dollar, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you very much, Bob Dancer. It's a pleasure to be with you and with your listeners. And this is, long overdue.
It's a little bit extra long overdue. You were originally scheduled to be on a radio cast 3 weeks ago. You became No Show Nolan,
I like it, a nickname.
Which was excellent experience for Frank and me because we tap danced for an hour. So what happened?
Hi, by the way, Nolan. And I noticed you were supposed to call in at 14 after, and it was like 14:01, and the phone rang. That was pretty good.
Well, it's 1 second late. Gentlemen, I got to tell you the truth. I had so many girls stand me up in high school. I said, I'm gonna choose and get back at somebody. I'm sorry it had to be you.
Oh, that's the truth, huh?
Oh.
Don't believe it. What else? What happened?
No, actually, you know, the World Series of Poker is a 24/7 operation that runs 58 straight days at the Rio in Las Vegas. I'm here. I don't want to be a martyr here, but I've got a Lou Gehrig type record where I've been in every single final table since 2002, and that's like 600 events. And essentially, I don't miss anything, and I'm always here. And occasionally, I forget things or don't write things down, and don't have the best memory now, and I guess I just forgot about that. But boy, I was sure glad to hear you guys wanted me back on, and I'll try to make up for striking out that first time.
Good, and you have told us this. We did forgive you, which is why we invited you back, and we just wanted our listeners to know because you stood them up too, and they hadn't heard the explanations. All right, so
please forgive me.
Yes, everyone, right. Forgive him.
All right, good. Now on the one of a kind, Stewie Unger. When he was widely considered the best poker player in the world, there was some debate about that. There was no debate about whether he was the best gin player, but poker, he was, a lot of people made that case. Today, a lot of people make the case that Phil Ivey, who's decided to skip this year's World Series, is the best poker player. Now, if they could play both in their primes, how do you think it would turn out, and why?
Well, that's obviously a great question. I have been asked it before, and I don't know if I've ever come up with the quintessential definitive, here is the answer to that question. I would say that the debate is more interesting than the answer, and here's what I mean by that. Let's use two very brief analogies, if we may. We'll use baseball, you know, for lack of a better comparison.
Okay.
Babe Ruth, the greatest superstar of the 1920s, and I guess early 30s in baseball, an iconic figure. Would Babe Ruth, with his physique, with his, you know, whatever is, you know, made up of, would he hit 60 home runs today or 714 home runs in today's era? I don't know. By the same token,
I strongly doubt it, and the
world of art, let's use Michelangelo, one of the greatest artists of all time. Could Michelangelo, if he lived today, would he be a great painter? The answer is obviously yes.
Without a doubt.
So I think that we have this melding of two different things, sports and art, and that's what poker is. If you take someone from a previous era, a Babe Ruth figure, would Babe Ruth perform well today? I'm not really sure. However, if you think of poker as art and it's Michelangelo, then that transcends the ages. And I think that Stu Unger is maybe a combination of both figures. You know, would he make it? You know, when I say the modern age, this is only 20, 30 years from his prime, and doesn't sound like a long time. But poker has absolutely revolutionized itself in the last, particularly last 5 or 6 years. And there are so many great poker players out there today that, you know, you have to wonder if Stu Unger would be certainly at the top of the pyramid. I think it's an interesting debate. I'm not going to provide the answer because I think, again, it's up to people left there listening to maybe form their own opinions based on all the information.
Have you considered becoming a politician? You dodge questions very, very politely and nicely and interestingly. That's very good. All right.
Better than Clinton and an indictment hearing, right?
All right, good. The 2011 version of Black Friday came in April when indictments were handed down against three online poker companies, including two of the very largest. A couple weeks later, 10 smaller online companies were also indicted. So this has had a huge effect on poker magazines because these companies used to be their biggest advertisers, and now they're not advertising anymore. So how has this affected World Series of Poker?
Well, as you say, Bob, it's certainly been a very, very big change to our industry. In other words, players, the media, press, ancillary-type businesses, everyone's been affected. But the bottom line is the World Series has not been affected, certainly adversely at all, because our numbers are essentially up in every single area. Satellites, cash games, tournaments, it's all up. The numbers are, you know, speak for themselves here. In my interpretation of this is that, yeah, some online players who are not able to log on and play, now where do they go? Well, they've got to go now into casinos, card rooms, and where are they going to come? They're going to come to the biggest and best tournament in the world, and that's the World Series of Poker. I want to give you one quick statistic, though, that I think it's something that no one probably has thought about. I think we can agree, by and large, seniors are not as, say, internet savvy, or generally speaking, are not as into the internet as younger people. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, without a doubt.
If you look at our biggest growth, the one event out of 35 tournaments held so far, what's the biggest growth we've had? The seniors. The seniors went from 3,200 players. I'm going to repeat that: 3,200 players up to 3,700. Now that's a staggering amount of people in the building to come in, 20% growth. Now, that's not because of the internet. It has nothing to do with the internet poker, in my view. These are just players that wanted to come and play in the World Series. And I've said long before, we are recession-proof, and now I think we're kind of, how do I say, Black Friday-proof. I mean, the World Series stands alone, and will continue to do so.
So on your new events, when they went from zero people up to several hundred, that's a much higher than 20%, wouldn't you say? I apologize. All right, let's have Frank ask a question about celebrities.
I was just going to make a comment about being recession-proof. It was actually, there was a study done back 2,000 years ago by the Romans, which determined that poor people were actually more likely to gamble than rich people. So as the economy gets worse, it actually encourages people in some avenues. Would you say that's true?
That's interesting. I think that's an interesting debate for sociologists and maybe people, I guess, like ourselves who are in the industry. However, keep in mind that the smallest buy-in World Series gold bracelet event is $1,000.
So you can't be too poor, is what you're saying.
Yeah, these are not poor people. Okay, there are no schlubs walking around this building for the most part. So
some of them dress like schlubs, though.
Speaking of the non-schlub rich folk, there's an awful lot of celebrities in the WSOP, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the neat thing about the World Series. It attracts people from all walks of life. I mean, celebrities are competitive by nature. That's why they are successful. That's how they got to be where they are today. Business people, very successful business people who played in the World Series. I agree with you that this attracts a certain type of highly competitive individual that, you know, it's neat that, you know, you succeed or fail based on largely your own, skill set, and obviously there's luck involved and so forth. It's very much like life, so I'm not surprised at all to see celebrities.
Can you drop a few names?
Just 5 minutes ago I talked to Jennifer Tilly. She's going to come and play in the ladies event here in another week or so, and, we've had in the past, you know, really a cavalcade of stars who have, you know, come, everyone from Matt Damon to Ben Affleck to Don Cheadle to, you know, and I'm not just pulling the A-listers out of here, but they've come and they've supported the World Series and played a lot of events. Brad Garrett, who's here on the Strip, is at the Tropicana as a comedian. Everyone knows him from Everyone Knows Raymond, days. He's not here to make appearances, folks. He's here because he loves the game, and he plays in, I don't know, a dozen or so events so far. Jason Alexander. Everyone knows Jason Alexander from Seinfeld. He plays a lot of our events. So these players love the game, and we're glad to have them.
How do they compare in skill to the full-time pros?
It's a tough because, you know, we've got fields of thousands of people. I mean, you know, to finish, when you say I finished 212th in a World Series event, people will kind of like, you know, unless you really know the game, you may roll your eyes, but what if there were 4,000 people and you finished 212th? You came in the top 5%, and that's what we're getting with celebrities. We don't have a lot of celebrities that win. Jennifer Tilly, by the way, did win the ladies' championship back in 2006.
Well, she's also a poker pro in addition to being...
Yeah, she's a great player, and there's a lot of very good players. But anyway, the bottom line is I think they do better than average. I think that they're on their guard because they're performers, and they're actors, so, you know, poker is a game of acting to a certain extent. So I think this game attracts it for that reason.
Very, very interesting.
Now, shortly after you started being media director there, 2003, Chris Moneymaker won. He's a Joe Sixpack kind of a guy. And how is the World Series of Poker different pre-Moneymaker to post-Moneymaker?
Well, really, 2003, May of 2003 is really the dividing line between the old era of poker and the modern era of poker. Essentially, Chris Moneymaker jettisoned in a sonic boom for the game. I'll give you some numbers, if I may. 2003, I was PR director at Binion's Horseshoe. 2003, we had 839 players in the main event at the World Series. 839. 3 years later, okay, 3 years later, the number is 8,773 players. 8,773, that's 10 times as many players 3 years later. Show me any business, any industry, you know, I guess the internet boom of the late 90s or something, you compare, you know, this kind of growth. Nothing has grown with that kind of speed. And it was largely due to Chris Moneymaker and, you know, ESPN coming in and a lot of factors. But that was clearly the biggest moment in modern poker history.
Yeah, and the people who do make that kind of growth are starting up. This was, World Series of Poker had been around a couple dozen years before this happened, so, and then it had this big boom. So it was kind of...
When do they start televising it, poker tournaments?
Well, really, the World Series began, you know, 43 years ago in 1970, and Moneymaker's year was actually 33rd year. And you're right, it was a very small, kind of cliquish group of gamblers, and yeah, you know, you guys know them. I'm, you know, all the names from Las Vegas mostly.
Yep.
And now it's a worldwide, you know, it's the Olympics. It's completely different. It's the Olympic Games, really, where you have people coming from 115 different countries.
I can't.
You know, it's very different.
I can't believe how much it's exploded. And, I mean, you can almost practically can't switch, you know, flip through the channels without seeing a poker tournament being televised somewhere. When I very first flipped through the channels and saw a poker tournament, you know, I thought it was like something they were playing on the fishing channel. Or, you know, I didn't think anyone would watch this, and it's just been so much bigger than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, I wish we could find a way to make video poker compelling TV. I would like to become the Mike Sexton of video poker television, but so far nobody seems to have come up with a way to do that. Showing hold cars doesn't seem to work in video poker because they're all visible. All right, so a couple years ago, the fourth opening day of the main event, called Day 1D, you had to close it. There was lots of people in line, and you had to say no more because our room's full. And on days 1, 2, and A, B, and C, there was empty seats. Now, there was a lot of angry people, and yet the room was full. Well, nothing you could do. So what are they doing this year to see that doesn't happen again? That was a sort of a black eye.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, again, the World Series has a very a problem that any business would love to have, which is, you know, more people want to come in and sit on at certain times than is seats available. And essentially the World Series, especially day 1D, that's like, you know, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night in a busy restaurant. I mean, you know, if there's 85 seats and 8,500 people show up, I'm sorry, you still only see 85 people, okay? And that's the way the World Series was that particular year. We had capacity for a certain number. What are we doing this year? You know, since that's happened, it's very simple. We're not playing number one over the 4th of July this year. And that essentially used to kill one of the days because you'd have A, B, C, and D. One of those days would be on the 4th of July. Of course, everyone's out watching fireworks, having drinks, or going out with friends, whatever. And that day was pretty much killed, which pushed people into the other days. Now that's not the case with the 4th of July. I think that'll certainly help us this year.
Uh-huh. So you scheduled the 4th of July earlier in the year, huh? That was clever.
Very clever. Very, very clever.
You have more power than I thought you did, Nolan.
He thinks like I do.
All right. So November 9th.
Could we have Christmas in September, too? That would work for my schedule.
Christmas is any day you get a big royal flush. So I've had Christmas at various times of years. All right. For a couple of years now, we've had the November 9th. They, however many thousands of people in the main event, start in July and they play a week, 8, 9 days, something like that. And they get down to 9 players and then they take a 4-month break. They come and everything's shown on TV and all these 9 people get lots of exposure and then they come back, finish it in 2 days. So is this working out the way you hoped it would? Is this a good idea? Is this going to continue? How is this working?
Yeah, Bob, it was very controversial when it was first implemented in 2008. You know, essentially you play this incredible event. Everyone's all pumped up. And then all of a sudden, kind of like, you know, it'd be like in a football game, you have this game and it's a tied ball game. And then all of a sudden at the 2-minute warning, you say, all right, guys, let's all put off the uniforms and we'll come back here and 3 months and finished the last 2 minutes of the game. I mean, it doesn't sound, you know, on the surface, it doesn't sound like it melds with the competitive spirit of a competition. But I think the bottom line is has it worked? And the answer is clearly yes. It's been very good for the game and also for spectators. And here's what I mean. What we used to do when the World Series would end in July, or maybe before that, there would always be this, okay, let's watch TV and see what happened. And by the way, past tense, what happened. Now, when people turn into ESPN and watch the World Series coverage, you get this incredible buildup, and then all of a sudden, what's the question at the very end? It's like the cliffhanger, the two-shot JR thing or whatever. What's going to happen? Big difference. Oh, here's the nine. What's going to happen? We got to tune in November to find out, you know, again, using that 1970s analogy, who shot JR, who's going to win the World Series of Poker, and that's what's happened. The other quick thing about this is, has it been good for the players? Absolutely. Think of the stress. Think of the, you know, the people having to fly in, people from all over the world, getting visas in some case from foreign countries. The players get to enjoy this moment. This is their biggest moment, biggest stage, biggest night of their lives, and they want their wives, their family, their friends with them in Las Vegas. And this enables all of those people to come in with plenty of time and to make the preparations.
And they have $1 million to last them that 4 months while they're find out if they go home and win more.
Exactly.
All right.
Everyone in the nine gets $1 million?
Well, it's a different amount, but they get the ninth place prize, which the last couple of years has been ballpark $1 million. And what it's going to be this year depends on how many people sign up. Huh. Is that approximately right?
Yeah, you nailed it there. You're exactly right. The prize pools of the main event always depend on the number of entries. And you're right. It's always broken down where everyone is guaranteed about $1 million right in there. And then, of course, the term we use in poker is free-rolling. I mean, they can't lose now. They've already got $1 million. And then the top side is, what, $8.5 million, whatever it is. So they're all playing for the extra prize. And pretty sweet feeling when you go back to Des Moines, Iowa, or Florida, or wherever you're from. You've already guaranteed $1 million, and now you're coming back 4 months later playing for, you know, another $7.5 million. Pretty good situation for the November 9.
Yeah, and although if you're the guy who goes out in ninth place, you waited 4 months, you have $1 million in your pocket, and you feel like a total loser. But I could handle being in that position if I were forced. Okay. They've had some ladies' events at the World Series of Poker, and there's been cases where guys go, you know, it's unfair ladies get all this free money. I'm going to enter too, and you can't stop me. So what's going on here? Are there going to be guys in ladies' events?
I don't know, Bob. I don't like it. We don't like it at the World Series. You know, I mean, we could do almost a whole show on this topic because it gets into legal questions. You know, there's a lot of different elements here. The bottom line is the ladies deserve their own event. Ladies support it. They enjoy it. We at the World Series want to keep this tradition, which has been going on since 1978. And, you know, it's really unfortunate a couple of, you know, I won't use the word I was thinking. A couple of...
Was the word jerks you had in mind?
Well, a little stronger than that. I don't like it. I don't like people coming in and crashing the party. Let these ladies enjoy their day. There's other events that the men can play if they want to. I think it's despicable that people crash the party. I don't like it a bit. But legally, you know, these are different times, and, you know, there's not much we can do if somebody comes in and does it. Real quick statistic for you, Bob.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know what the percentages of ladies who play video poker is. I'm guessing it's probably in line with the population, which is 50, 51%, whatever. In poker tournaments at the World Series, the makeup of women playing gold bracelet events this year, what do you think it is?
7%?
Yeah, well, that's about what I guess. Try 3.7. It's half.
See, I got the 7 right.
Yeah, but it's half. I, you know, here's the thing is, we'd make a joke out of it or whatever. It's an embarrassment. There should be more women playing poker. By the way, if there's more women playing poker, there's going to be more men playing poker. This is the thing that we're trying to protect at the World Series. Create events that bring in more women, and the ladies' event does exactly that.
Well, bars let women in for free and hope it brings the guys. You might consider that in the World Series.
You bring up an interesting point. Back 20 years ago when I was running a video poker slot team, out of all the independent professional video poker progressive players, none of them were women. It was 100% men.
Well, there were some husband-wife teams.
The women were paid players. That's a team player. That's not an independent pro.
All right. Now, the World Series is more than halfway through, a little bit. We've had a bunch of first-time winners, but it's pretty dominant as pros. Professional players have won. Well, there was even one event where two TV poker commentators, Mike Sexton and Norman Chad, both ended up in the money. I knew Sexton could play. I didn't think Norman Chad had any better chance than Ray Romano, but he ended up 12th place. So what's been the most remarkable thing so far about the World Series of Poker this year?
Well, it's impossible to boil down to just one or two things. But, you know, my thing is when there's 80,000 people who come from all over the world, in my view, there's 80,000 great stories. I mean, just some people, coming into this building and playing. Yeah, they don't even cash, but they get here. And they represent, you know, kind of the tip of the iceberg of the poker world. And just to get here and play in the World Series, that's what's special. Yeah, it's nice to win. It's nice to go home with money. But just to participate and share in the camaraderie and the spirit of this fraternity, I think that's what it's all about. Real quick, what are the high points? Obviously, Phil Hellmuth getting 2 second place finishes. Like him or love him, he's a great player. But he was
like him or love him. Some people would take him third choice.
I'm glad you caught that. I was going to be positive here, but yeah, the 2 second place finishes for him. That's I guess a mixed bag.
Yeah, he has 12 rings already, or is 11 rings now, and he's going for his 12th. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and the 12th one seems to be. And it's been 4 years now. And, boy, that clock of time just keeps passing by.
Gee, he's in a rut, only getting second. Wow, yeah. Must be.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, with a guy like Hellmuth, I don't want to say the money doesn't matter. It certainly does when you're talking about with a lot of zeros on it. But, you know, he wants to win the bracelet, and his legacy's already there. But, you know, that's what differentiates champions from also-rans is that extra desire to win. And certainly Phil has it and hasn't won this year, so... The other real quick thing I'll mention about there's this debate. I can't believe that people are still thinking they're along these lines. There's a question: is poker a skill game? That's a question that's even posed legally. And let me give you a statistic here: 35 events, as we talk this moment, have been finished. 31 of them have been won by pros or semi-pros. And by the way, when I look at this room and there's say 7,000 people in it today, I don't know what the percentage is. It's probably 30 or 40% of them are professional players. By and large, the majority, 2/3 of the people in this room, are not professional poker players. So when you see 31 out of 35 winning the gold bracelet, it tells you this is a game of skill.
Yes, it does. All right, we are going to have to let you go. We have we're going to want you on again in a month or so. There's a story about a $5,000 chip that's going to take a while to talk about. And so will you come back and play with us again?
I'd love to, gentlemen. It was nice being with you, and thank you for having me on. I'd love to talk about anything you guys want to talk about, including my video poker losses, which are insurmountable here. I need to get
your video poker losses are insurmountable. Yes. I know this guy who can teach you how to play. Nominal prices, nominal charges.
Why are you trying to surmount your losses? That sounds very painful.
Or X-rated. All right, good. Thank you, Nolan.
Thanks good. A lot, Bob. Nice to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it, and I'm sorry you couldn't go to that party I invited you to. You were too busy, huh? All right, maybe next time.
Okay. All right, interesting guy.
Yeah.
Do you ever play poker at all?
I have, yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, I've played, with family and friends quite a lot as a kid. I dated a poker dealer that worked at that little casino across from the Stardust briefly, and
the Silver Something.
Yeah, Silver Something. That's exactly how I remember it too.
The free popcorn. Yeah,
that's funny. That was exactly what I was going to say. The Silver Something.
Yeah, next to Riviera. All right.
And she always wanted to go out and play poker, so I went out with her frequently, and won every single time I went out with her, and she used to complain that I didn't play well. And I thought that was very strange.
All right. Let's. We got two more commercials to do. And both of our commercials, we got stuff to talk about in addition to just the main commercial part of it. One of the commercials is the Palms. Tomorrow night is the final drawing for their Ford Focus. 10 people are going to, on the preliminary drawing at 7 o'clock, are going to earn between $250 and $5,000. And as soon as those... plus a chance for the Focus. And as soon as that's over, those 10 people plus however many showed up from last week's 10, get a shot at a $25,000 focus or a little bit more than $20,000 in cash. There are some other prizes. But just that drawing chance is worth well over $1,000 per person in addition to whatever the prize is. Last week, I had more tickets in the barrel than anybody else, I think, and did not get called. I was having trouble having people feeling sorry for me, but anyway, that's the way it went last week. There's been some coupon book.
I'm having trouble believing people feeling sorry for you.
Well, if you feel sorry for me, you'll be the first.
I always feel sorry for you.
Good. All right, so there have been some coupon books mailed out to lots of people in various zip codes. From the Palms. One of the coupons is for double points on any single Saturday or Sunday during the month. So I played almost 2 weeks ago on that Sunday to earn tickets for last week's drawing. And I tried to get tricky, and it didn't work. So I'll tell you what I tried to do. It does work at some casinos, and so it's a word to the wise because it won't work at this one. When midnight Sunday came around, I wasn't finished playing. I thought I would earn some more tickets. And so at many casinos, as long as your card is still in the machine, it still thinks it's the day before midnight. And so I played until about 1. And then when they finally doubled my points the next day, I discovered I got the number of points until midnight. That last hour I was playing on single points, which was a bummer. So, I took a shot and didn't work. And many casinos that works, but apparently at the Palm it doesn't.
We can't really fault them for accurate record keeping, can we?
No, you can't do that, but... But there are others who may try to take a shot later. And so if you're going to play this weekend, which is the last weekend in June, if you still have your coupon, there's no extra drawings because there's no drawing next week. Next week ends July 1st on Friday. And although a drawing could happen at any time, there is no drawing there now. So you're playing for just the double points. So those of us who like to stack up promotions and play the last couple of weeks would get the double points plus the entries in the tournament. And now they have a new promotion at the Palms, which gives you a small edge. And Frank and I were arguing about it before the show. So I'm going to tell you about it. And then we're going to talk about the M. And then if we have time, we'll come back and see what we're arguing about. This is, you go to a website called slotplaycoupons.com. You pay $25 on your credit card over, and you print out a voucher that's worth $40 of free play. So this is sort of like a $15 edge. You bring that voucher into the casino, and they load the free play on your card. It is, and you can do it once every 30 days. So it is a bit of running around for $15, but there are people in this town who will do a lot of running around for $5. So this must seem like a gold mine. Anyway, that's one. Frank and I have different opinions on it, so we'll talk about that after we mention the M. How are the M numbers doing?
Well, I'm almost afraid to say, because if I do, people aren't going to hear the end of the show, and I wrote a really funny close for today.
Oh, okay. you think they're going to leave immediately, huh?
I think they're going to walk out of their house, get in their car, go right now. That's
okay,
what
so
I think.
As of 5 o'clock today, how high were dollar progressives?
Well, let me give you the low ones. The Jacks are better was at 55.52. The Joker poker was at 66.94. The super double bonus poker was at $6,412.
Let's not do all of them. There are 8 there. What were the high ones?
Okay, well, the lowest of the high
was
at $11,571. That was the bonus poker deluxe.
And what kind of edge would that be for a player's?
I actually didn't run that one because it was the lowest.
Okay.
I ran the 3 highest.
Okay.
The double bonus poker is at 11,527, which would be a 0.9 edge. That's not including the cashback on the card and not including meter rise.
So you actually, or the mailers.
So you can actually add almost a full 1% to that if you intend to sit down and play. The deuce is at 13,526. It is the highest meter. That represents a 1.26% edge if it was non-progressive and didn't move and you got no bonuses. And the actual highest return game is the second from the highest dollar amount meter. And that would be the double dumble bonus poker at 12,763, which comes in at 102% if it was a static meter and you didn't get cash back and so on. And actually today was triple points. So, I mean, wow.
So I assume it was...
Is there anyone still out there? Hello?
I assume all the seats have been full for all day.
No, there have been seats opening up.
Oh, good.
And they are also talking about doing a list so people can get in a waiting line and things like that. Oh, and I just got an email from Mr. Seligman, and they're going to be probably adding 10 more additional dollars next week to...
$10 more machines
so that people can get more... seat availability when it gets high. Now, the quarters, we'll go down that real fast.
Let's just do the top two or top three.
Top three. Jacks are better is at 2806. The deuce is at 2743. And the bonus poker deluxe is at 2737. So three just shy of 3,000.
All right. So these are all well over 100%.
I think it's pretty easy for people to see from these numbers that these things do, in fact, go up exactly as advertised and they get high. Real high.
So they're at least considering the option of that eight games doesn't give people enough choices.
Let's talk about that next show.
All right,
you
good.
You got to save something.
Got to save something. So let's go back to the pumps. And we talked
about... You want to talk about the silly coupon?
I do. You did not see any difference between $15 of... a promotion where you get a $15 free play or one where you pay $25 and then you get $40 of free play.
Well, I see a difference. I just see a negligible difference.
Okay.
Six of one, half a dozen of another.
Well, good. So I see a major difference from the casino's point of view. You have to consider from the casino's point of view, there are a considerable number of players who, when they get free play, go in and play until that money is all gone or they hit something big. A significant number of people, perhaps not you, but a significant number of people. Now, if players pay $25 to get 40 and they play until they lose that 40, the casino has a shot at making money. If the casino just gives them $15 and then they play it off, the casinos aren't going to be making money. So from the casino's point of view, with the realistic understanding of what gamblers are all about, the making them pay for the opportunity to get free play is a much more attractive situation for the casino. And for players with discipline, not so much different. But for many players, big difference.
Can I retract my previous comment?
Yes, you may. Do you see a difference now?
I do. And, you know, that's exactly the kind of difference that someone with my upbringing in the world of video poker would not have ever thought of. Because I don't understand how regular folk think.
It's okay. Regular folk don't understand how you think. So it's...
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. So let's...
They have medication for people that think like I do, you know.
Yeah. Then you might have skipped a few days.
And
okay.
You're still adjusting my dosage.
All right. Next week, we're going to talk to Richard Munchkin, who his book is called Gambling Wizards. I'm rereading that now. He interviews Billy Walters, who's Chip Reese, Tommy Hyland, Mike Sobotny, Stanley Tomshkin, a couple others, Doyle Brunson. And so he talks to him about what lessons there are from gambling.
Is he going to be call-in or in studio?
I haven't really talked to him about that. He lives in Southern California. Oh. So I don't know if he's planning to be in Vegas next week or not. I will, from our listeners' point of view, it probably doesn't matter a lot. But, of course, from your point of view, it's easier to meet him if he's here. In 2 weeks, we are having Blair Rodman. His book is called Kill Phil. It is how you play poker against real good players named Phil, like Phil Hellmuth or Phil Locke or Phil Gordon or Phil's. There's at least another couple that I'm missing. And have a shot at it, even though they are tons better than you. So that's what Kill Phil is all about. Now, I've been told that I only can talk about our guests for the subsequent 2 weeks, so I'm not allowed to say that George Maloof will be on July 14th, so I won't say that.
Okay, don't say that then.
All right.
I'm obviously excited about that. You know, he should come out with a whole line of books, like Kevin, Kill Steve, Kill Mary. I mean, there's plenty of more names.
There are. And there is a sequel to Kill Phil.
Kill Everybody.
I think it's Kill Everyone. I'm not sure. I don't think Blair was on it. There was some co-authors on it. And
I read Kill Phil in a night and then did my first poker tournament the following day.
Uh-huh.
So I actually know the book. Good. It was very helpful.
Did you kill or be, were you killed or be killed?
Considering I had never played a poker tournament in my entire life, I did extremely well.
Uh-huh. Good.
I'm, you know, not entirely inept, you know.
Good. All right.
Did you have anything else? Because I have one little funny tidbit.
Knock us dead.
Okay. You know how we always talk about, like, cognitive biases, and it's like one of my pet hobbies to research that stuff?
We don't ever talk about that, but you talk about that. Yes, so go ahead.
There's an interesting thing about what's called the bias blind spot.
The bias blind spot.
And for anyone listening who may have heard some of the segments on cognitive biases, this is very interesting. The more biased you are, the less likely you are to think you're biased. And in fact, people that think they're biased are more likely to rate themselves as more biased than they are. Did I phrase that well enough?
I'm not sure. So if you were a staunch Republican or a staunch Democrat, we'll call that bias.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think you're very biased at all.
You think
if you're an independent, you think you are biased. Is that what you said?
If asked the question, do you think you're biased? People who are biased will answer in negative of what the truth is, and people who are less biased will answer in the positive. Then there's actually a similar phenomenon in IQ. People with high IQ usually underrate their IQs, and people with low IQ almost always overrate their IQ.
Do you overrate or underrate your IQ?
There's no way to win that question, is there?
All right.
Very
sorry.
Sneaky, Bob.
Oh, well, good.
Very,
thank you.
Very sneaky.
Thank you. Well, I may overrate your IQ. So I don't know what that means. Good.
I've had it measured many times.
Okay, good.
But I don't like to talk about it.
All right, so that means we'll ask you three times next week.
I'm sure it does.
Okay, so we're about out of time.
Yep, 7 more seconds. You're going to like this close.
And so I want you to go out and hit lots of royal flushes. The class at Samstown is double bonus progressive.
What's new is old, and what's old is new again with our new Gambling with an Edge Retro Edition. Throw off the yoke of Renaissance-inspired choice and hearken back to an age of dark, single-minded certainty as we roll back the years and share with you all the revelations the 12th century had to offer. Got a little too much yellow bile? Don't worry. We'll bring your humors into balance as we show you how to combine all four elements and maximize your chance of receiving God's favor. Whether you draw lots, roll the bones, play Primero, or just want to know the best way to survive a witch trial and dodge the Inquisition, this show is for you. More curative than human tears, better for your complexion than gladiator sweat or the freshest puppy urine, more controversial than a screaming mandrake, and more blessed than the holy preface. Put away your philosopher's stone, break out your astragali, and set your sundials 30 minutes ahead so you'll never be late again for the new, old Gambling with an Edge Retro Edition, now using only the finest quality medical leeches. And remember, those that forget the past might have been better off.
For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website VideoPoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity. Unless we get burned at the stake between now and then.
Fact. When pain keeps you up at night, nothing is proven to get you to sleep faster than Advil PM liquid gels. Fact. Advil PM liquid gels are the only liquid-filled capsules created just for nighttime pain. Fact. Advil PM liquid gels rush liquid fast relief to ease your pain and help you fall asleep fast. The facts say it all. When pain keeps you from getting to sleep fast, make Advil PM liquid gels your number one choice.
Comparisons based on OTC nighttime pain relievers. Use as directed.
So, Lisa, mucus, what brings you to counseling?
Sinus congestion.
And she blames me.
You are mucus.
Well, did you ever think it's swelling due to nasal inflammation?
I assumed.
Yeah, there she goes.
Mucus, please. It's more constructive to offer a solution.
Okay. New Advil congestion relief. It treats the real problem of sinus congestion with the strength of Advil and an effective decongestant.
Everyone feel better?
Much.
New Advil Congestion Relief, the right sinus medicine for the real problem. Use as directed.
So the guy says the duck quacked me up.
Oh, you and the jokes.
The Jerk Show, Tuesday through Saturday, midnight to 3, on KLAV, AM 1230, The Clock, Las Vegas.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
If you're a sales manager with a sales team and you need a system in place that will allow you to track the effectiveness of your sales staff while they stay in touch through email marketing and also be able to control the content of your marketing material by creating templates and drip campaigns that can be shared throughout the organization, then ClientTouch.com is for you. Hello, my name is Joe Whitley. I am the co-owner and president of ClientTouch.com. Increase your sales and visibility. Listen to the ClientTouch show Sunday nights at 5, brought to you by Same Day Paint and Body in Henderson. Go to SameDayPaintAndBody.com for more information.
NV Workforce Connections is here to help you succeed, so we partner with friends like KLAV, where Cornelius Eason of Workforce Connections Strictly Business teams up with Andrea Wasser every Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock Pacific Time for You're Hired, where the focus is your career. To land the best job or the best employees, find a workforce development partner at nvworkforceconnections.org. Then tune in for You're Hired, Monday afternoon at 2, right here on KLAV.
What's up, radio family? It's Koji Baby back again with The Smoking Show. Monday's show is going to and could possibly come through your household right as we speak on my topic, drinking in Las Vegas. The real-life stories from the victims of this problem that's on the rise. Every second, even as I address this issue, somebody will lose their life to a drunk driver. Hear the stories from the drivers who took the lives of people and how they're helping to bring awareness through the prison release. Hear it live Monday, 3 to 5, Evening Drive. Check out the Conversations with Koji.com website for upcoming shows and past events. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Are you a friend? If so, take those keys or the life you might lose may be your own. And you will possibly meet Andre up close and personal at Valley Funeral Home. Come on now, think about it. Give up those keys. Monday, 3 to 5, Conversations with Coach Baby.
This is Dr. Robert Earle. I'm a local dentist here in Las Vegas and have been practicing dentistry for 35 years. We want to invite you to join us every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for a new show called Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earle. We will be answering questions and talking about the latest technology in dentistry and giving you the answers to your questions about dental concerns.
Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earl, Tuesday afternoon at 2.
I'm Dr. Dana Trippi.
And I'm Dr. Eric Evanson.
Join us on Thursdays at 9 a.m. for our new radio show, Weight Loss Unplugged,
where we'll give you the 411 on weight loss and wellness.
We will discuss the latest issues regarding the overweight or obese for children, teens, and adults.
We'll be bringing human enlightenment while taking questions from listeners as we discuss the importance of losing extra weight through better nutrition, behavioral modification, exercise, and pharmacotherapy.
With the nation's waistline expanding, there's never been a better time to take an active role in losing weight.
Love us on radio. Like